Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
If you respect that vow, but you say, if death do us part, this is the kind of death.
How horrible it would be to turn your back on the spouse when they're most helpless. Makes me wonder what it is that Pat Robertson thinks is essential that a person can contribute that will define them as being alive or not.
If you think the 1.5 billion Muslims are going to consider a 15-story mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks as a mosque of reconciliation, you got to put down the bong water.
This is what God gives in his supper. Present tense forgiveness. Present tense restoration.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
It is a familiar story that is told about Jesus and the 10 lepers. We all know how it comes out. 10 are cleansed. One comes back, gives thanks. Jesus ends on kind of a sour note with the 9. Were there not 9 who were cleansed? Where are they? Why is the only one to return this foreigner, this stranger? And then he says, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, it's often been preached as merely, you should be more thankful than you are. You're just like those 9 lepers and, well, be more thankful. There's got to be more to it than that. I mean, there really has to be more to this text than be more thankful. Can we ever be thankful enough? I mean, if we're going to gauge Christ's pleasure with us, his favor with us based upon our thankfulness, we will always fall far short. So we're going to be talking about Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers, Luke 17, beginning at verse 11 during our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, September the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. The listener with the best question in the first hour during the roundtable will get a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question or comment for our pastor's roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We'll talk about Pat Robertson's recent comment about Alzheimer's and divorce. She speaks with some personal experience. She says we are depersonalizing demented patients. Frank Turek will join us after that. He's going to give us his take on the military's dropping of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And then the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll round off the second hour of Issues Etc. Our pastor's roundtable this Thursday afternoon, joining us from Accident, Maryland, where he's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church, Pastor Charles Lehman. Charles, welcome back.
Always a joy.
Here in the studio, Pastor Brian Holly is with us. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, thanks for coming in.
Always enjoy coming in, Todd.
The two of you actually have a connection here that our listeners may not be aware of. You spring from the same well, in at least in some sense. What is it, Brian?
Well, I suspect you're talking about our vicarage supervisor, Father Whedon. Well, both Charlie and I think, were privileged to serve under his tutelage for a time. I, not only as a vicar, but also during my years at the seminary as a field worker. So Pastor Whedon was an important part of my life for a full 4 years.
Well, and I think we've discovered with Pastor Whedon's proteges, if you don't mind me calling both of you that, that the apple does not fall far from the tree. This story of the 10 lepers is often, I remember it being preached as, you're not thankful enough, you're like those 9, you should be like the 1, be more thankful. And that was pretty much the gist of the story. Is there more to this story of healing than simply our lack of thankfulness?
Well, Todd, you know, last Sunday we had the story of the Good Samaritan, and I guess in many ways, many people consider these stories as Last week, we were told to be nice. And, by the way, be nice to everybody. And then this week, many people turned the story into just a simple matter of, hey, be more thankful. Come on, make sure you are nice and you say thanks when nice things happen to you. But there is so much more to the story than that. As a matter of fact, there's so much in here that I always find it a challenge when this reading comes along each year to try to choose which part I'm going to focus on in my preaching, because there's so much there. It's difficult to talk about it all every given year.
Pastor Lehman, it is to some extent about thankfulness. Is it primarily, with respect to thankfulness, a word of law to us?
I think, yeah, with respect to thankfulness, it is a word of law, but I think that's actually one of the more minor points in the whole text. I appreciated that Brian mentioned how this, for us who are on the one-year lectionary, follows immediately after the Good Samaritan in our preaching. And I think probably a lot of us end up talking about the whole Samaritan-Jew deal at some point during this two-week period. And the place where my preaching on this is going this week anyway is much more on the fact that Jesus puts the person that is most hated in his time in the place of the greatest honor. And I think that he's using that to teach us about himself, actually.
It's another example of how Jesus doesn't just find himself in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. He is on his way to Jerusalem, we're told by Luke, passing along between Samaria and Galilee, Galilee being, I take it, his home territory, Samaria being this region of the Samaritans, which I think pious Jews would rather have avoided, certainly avoid the Samaritans. What's happening here, Pastor Holly?
Yeah, I think it fits in the broader narrative. Of course, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and I think that's an important thing to keep in the back of our mind. This story is set against the context of Jesus on his final trip, resolutely heading toward Jerusalem, and we Christians understand what he's going there to do. He is going there to lay down his life and to atone for the sins of all mankind. All of them, all 10 of them, if you'll allow me to kind of mix the stories here a bit. But he's going to Jerusalem to atone for the sins of the whole world, not just the sins of some, but the sins of the whole world. And he's going there to give a gift. And as he does so, we can learn all sorts of things from the stories. Of course, Galilee, yeah, the Jews. Then, of course, the other side of the tracks, if you will, Samaria, where there are those nasty Samaritans. And in the story, as with other stories in the Gospels, you begin to see some of the lines begin to blur. Yes, Jesus came to the Jews, but he did not come just for the Jews. In fact, he begins to bring these other characters into the story, the Samaritan woman elsewhere, Gentiles, and suddenly you begin to wonder, wow, did Jesus come not only to the Jews, but maybe for everyone? So that's just one other aspect of the story that's very interesting.
Pastor Lehman, it says in verse 12, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is something Jesus often heard from people as he went from place to place. What does it mean?
Well, one thing that we have going on here is that this is toward the end of Jesus' ministry. So for 3 years, he's been healing people just about everywhere he went. And very often at the end of the account, you'll hear something like, and they went and told everybody, you know, what he had done, or the multitudes gathered. And so by this time, when Jesus is coming along, if you're sick, you know you've got an opportunity here to receive healing. And the way that they often would ask for that healing is with those words, have mercy on us. Now, sometimes when they say that, they'll address him as Son of David, or they'll address him as Lord. Here the word is Master, which is a little bit more vague. I mean, it doesn't have quite as much theological weight in it. And so the sense that we get here is that these people know that they might be able to get healing from Jesus, and they know this is the way that you ask for it. But we don't get as clear a sense here that these people know that the reason why they can receive healing from Jesus is because he's the very Son of God.
Is this, should we get to the end of this story, Pastor Holly? We've got about a minute before a break. And conclude, as is often implied in preaching on this text, that the nine go away healed, but they don't believe. And only the guy who came back has his faith recognized because he came back and gave thanks. Kind of this tie between, if you really are a Christian, you'll be more thankful. Should we conclude that? Because all ten do get healed without respect to any act on their part other than a simple plea for mercy.
Yeah, the first thing I kind of see hidden in that is, and it's not the main feature of the story, but I think it is helpful to take advantage when we're given the opportunity. Jesus didn't just heal the one, nor was their healing dependent on how they would respond. He healed all ten of them. They cried out for mercy. And when people approach Jesus in the Gospels and cry out for mercy, he acts. He has compassion, oftentimes healing them and caring for them. Last week, when the lawyer stood up to test him and challenge him, then Jesus responds in a little different way, kind of pointing him in the direction of the law. But here Jesus acts. And sometimes people say, well, the one was really thankful, the other weren't. I don't buy that at all. I suspect all ten were very thankful to have been healed. But I think nine of them got lost in the healing, and they missed the healer. And that's really the part of the story that's the center and heart of it.
All right, we'll talk more about the story of Jesus cleansing 10 lepers after this.
It's almost more than living where they lie. It's almost more. I love my brother. Could use some mercy now.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Thank you.
Stanza one of the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, sung by the Children's Choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday, the 22nd of September. We're talking about Jesus cleansing 10 lepers in Luke 17. As a way of saying thank you to our guest, Pastor Lehman will receive a gift certificate for 2 free bottles of Country Bob's all-purpose sauce. I know he appreciates that because I think it was yesterday he called the studio and made sure that he would receive 2 free bottles as compensation for his appearance. Country Bob's, it all comes down to the sauce, countrybobs.com. And Pastor Holly has already been given a gift certificate for 2 for 18 holes of golf, courtesy Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville, Illinois. Oak Brook Golf Club, where kids play free. You can find them at oakbrookgc.com, oakbrookgc.com. Now, we pick up the text there in verse 14, Pastor Lehman. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. There's the healing. What's the role of the priests in this particular healing?
Well, leprosy is the way the New Testament refers to a number of various skin diseases that were common at the time. And any of these diseases would make a person ritually unclean, and they'd be unable to participate in temple worship. And so when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests, the healing is kind of implicit in that. He's saying, you need to go show yourself to the priests so that you can be received back into, you know, fellowship at the temple. That's the kind of surface meaning here, the most straightforward meaning. But there's really something else going on here, too, because the Samaritan would not have been allowed to even see the priests at the temple. Before he even got close enough, he would have been stoned. The Apostle John says that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. That's kind of like saying that the U.S. Marines have no dealings with Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's the level of enmity between these people. And for a Samaritan to even try to enter the court of Israel would have caused them to be stoned. So the Samaritan couldn't even fulfill that command. He turns back to Jesus and actually fulfills that command in a way far beyond what the other 9 could even think of.
So, to kind of restate what you've observed there, the other 9, presumably Jews, because Jesus seems to make that contrast, these 10 men are driven together by this common malady that rendered them all unclean under Jewish ceremonial law, regardless of their nationality or their ethnic background. But they're driven together into kind of this fellowship of leprosy. Then when Jesus heals them, suddenly that boundary is back up again. Suddenly, they're not men who share a common disease. They're Jews and Gentiles again. And it sounds like you're saying this leper didn't have any place to go. Even if he was completely healed, you know, with skin like a little baby's bottom, he still had no place to go but to Jesus.
That's exactly right. And here again, the Samaritan becomes a picture of every Christian, just like we have in John chapter 4 when the female Samaritan becomes a picture of the church as Christ's own bride. Here we have a Samaritan becoming a picture of the church in that he literally has nowhere to go but Jesus. And, you know, probably by accident, he ends up coming before the high priest who is going to offer himself for the sins of the world instead of the Levitical priests who are still serving the sacrificial system that exists only to point forward to Jesus, the one who the Samaritan has already, in some sense, recognized.
So could it be that this text, while it does have a word to say, as we pointed out earlier, about our thankfulness, Pastor Holly, that this text is about Jesus being the temple, Jesus being the high priest, Jesus being the one who actually declares not just lepers, but all of us clean?
Yeah, I couldn't help but think, as Charlie was talking, that the priest, the temple sacrifice, the temple itself were all in place to point people forward to Christ. But now in Christ, God is dwelling among his people. The temple is no longer a building. The temple is now a body. God has taken on human flesh, and he is among his people. And that one that John proclaims to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is going to Jerusalem to make the once and final sacrifice for the sins of everyone, for all of them, to cure everyone of the leprosy of sin, which makes us unclean, which separates us from God, and which even destroys our relationship with others. And Jesus is preparing to go to Jerusalem to do exactly that. So the story is very much about Jesus, and it reminds me of the question you asked me in the beginning. Is this about thankfulness or not? Yes, it is, but it's interesting. I remember trying to teach my children how to be thankful. And, of course, I can sometimes be rather heavy-handed, and sometimes it was just a, look, be thankful. You've got a great gift, now be thankful. Say your thank you, write your thank you, do whatever you need to be. But you can't use the law to motivate people to be thankful. The best way to encourage people to be thankful is to focus on the giver, on Christ. And so I think as we preach this, we do well to center and focus on Christ and what he had come to do. We can think of the sacrifice. We can also think of the escape from slavery in Egypt. All Israel was slaves. So as we might compare leprosy to sin, we might also compare slavery to sin. And Jesus had come to set them free, to cleanse them, all of them. And so as the people left Egypt, not all of them made it to the promised land, because many of the children dropped off along the way as they got distracted by other things. And you asked earlier about, did all 10 have faith? Well, I think they did. They cried out to Jesus, the name given to him because he would save them from their sins. And they cried out to him for mercy. They believed he could help them. They had heard of him. So I think all 10 believed. But I think in the midst of the healing, one of them remained focused on the temple, God dealing among his people here on earth, while the others, they were just excited to get to the temple so they could get on with the rest of their life and their family and friends and all that other kind of stuff. And so I think their faith, if you will, got choked out by other things, and they were focused on the cure and not on the one who provided the cure.
I remember listening to this, Charles, as a kid all through my life, hearing this story many times, and at one point, it dawned on me that, I mean, if you're just reading this text for what it is, you don't try not to make any assumptions about what's going on here. Jesus seems to be not entirely fair. I mean, he tells the ten, go show yourselves to the priests. And then he seems kind of torqued off that they've gone to show themselves to the priests. I mean, as far as this, the timeline of the story seems, these men would hardly have had time to get to the priests, go through probably what would have been a rather lengthy ritual of proving that they were clean again. In fact, I think there's Old Testament tests for these things that take some time, and come back and say thanksgiving to Jesus, and yet he commends the one who couldn't go to the priest for coming back and giving thanks. Is Jesus being fair? Is he trying to make a point other than those guys are not as thankful as they should be? Because unless this is a really long time period here, these guys would not have even had time to come back after following Jesus' explicit command, go show yourself to the priests.
Well, I think Jesus is making a greater point here. I think the fact that he praises the guy who seems to not be obeying him, and he seems to be critical of the nine who seem to be trying to obey him, indicates that what's going on here is not what, you know, we see on the surface level. When he says, go show yourselves to the priests, they should recognize that the man standing in front of them is the high priest, the one who has made them clean, the one who has declared them clean. But those nine, they turn away from Jesus, and they turn toward the law. And even though the one who does ultimately give Jesus thanks does turn back to him, he turned with those other nine back toward the law and was trying to figure out a way he might be able to fulfill that law, even though it was actually impossible for him to go to the temple in Jerusalem. One thing that struck me when I was doing some study on this morning is that, even though it's usually translated something like he turned back and praised God with a loud voice or glorified God with a loud voice, what it actually says is he turned back praising God with a loud voice. And the fact is that he is turning away from the Mosaic law. He is turning toward Jesus, and that is repentance. That is faith.
When we come back, more of our pastor's roundtable on the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Recently, America's kids went back to school and college. I remember going back to school with mixed emotions. I was sad to give up the freewheeling days of summer, but glad to go back to see my school friends and, yes, to learn. Now, high school kids and college students have an added reason to look forward to being back at the books. Stand True Ministries is a Christ-centered youth pro-life group. They've come up with 10 top back-to-school ideas. Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion activists have made great gains in our nation's school system. Now it's time we took it back, and these 10 ideas are a great way to start. They're creative and fun. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to find the list and all the links you need. Let's make school campuses an environment for life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, September the 22nd. We're coming to you live with our pastor's roundtable halfway through, 25 more minutes to go. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. She has written some thoughts recently in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about Pat Robertson's recent comment about Alzheimer's and divorce. Frank Turek will join us after that. He has some things to say about the military's final dropping of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And then the Issues Etc. comment line. I invite your questions or comments on the subject of the cleansing of the 10 lepers. You can leave them at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we are giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment on this cleansing of the lepers. facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Calling from Kansas City, here's Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening consider supporting Issues Etc. It's a great resource. And pastors, thanks for the topic. You've given me some new insight. I appreciate it. My question has to do with the number 10. There seems to be very specifically 10 lepers. And I was wondering, I don't put anything into numerology necessarily, but there are the 10 commandments, and then 10 also seems to be a number that is all-inclusive. So can we get from this that Christ died for the leprous sins of the entire world, yet only a few will actually receive his saving grace?
That's a great question, Mike. Charlie, you first, and then I'll let Brian chime in as well.
Well, I think it is a great question, and while I wouldn't want to push things too far, 10 is generally a number that shows completeness in some way. And so I think if you just use it as an analogy and don't say, well, this text is saying this directly and this is how we have to read it, I think certainly when you consider the whole Jew-Samaritan thing and the fact that one of the most hated of people is the one who is praised for their faith saving them, I think, yeah, you can say all of us are leprous, all of us are dying in our sin, all of us need the salvation that comes from Christ. And even though it is given to all of us, Jesus forgives all of our sins on the cross, not all receive the benefits. I think that's a perfectly legitimate point to make from this text.
Yeah, and I think the number 10 does invite us. I think it's difficult to read it and not think, commandment, and to beg the question, well, what is the law's role here in our being saved or the lepers being cleansed? What was the Old Testament temple, the sacrifice, the priest? What was all of that for? Is that how we're saved? Or was it, in fact, just preparing us for and used to prepare us for Christ and his sacrifice? So, yeah, there's some other things in this story that you can also just kind of wonder about. If you think about the Greek word that is used and rendered thankfulness, Eucharist, you would, I think Old Testament Greek readers would have heard in that word a name for the Holy Supper itself. And as we return to the church where God has promised to be in word and sacraments, we can once again commune with Christ and as we commune with others. And as we receive Christ, the giver, we are giving thanks by receiving the gifts he died to give us. And so I think it also invites some thought there that you perhaps hadn't thought about.
Okay. I'm wondering if there's another contrast here, and that is this kind of from a distance and then right up close to Jesus. The lepers all begin, and it's quite clear that they're crying out to him from far away. They're not getting near him. Now, I don't know how far away they were, but apparently it's a sufficient enough distance that they had to yell, "Lord, have mercy on us," or "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," because they lift up their voices. And then when the one comes back, he's right there at Jesus' feet, it says, right there. Is there something about far and near to note here, Pastor Lehman?
I think there's two things you could say. The first is just a basic cultural thing, and that is that lepers were required to stay far away from those who didn't have leprosy and to shout unclean so that no one would have the risk of catching the disease themselves. So they were in a situation where they wanted Jesus' help, but they couldn't get close to him. And so they needed to cry out, you know, from a far distance, "Have mercy on me." But when the Samaritan recognizes that he has been healed, he knows that there is no longer anything to keep him away from the one who has healed him. And I think he probably sees this healing as an invitation to be close to Jesus, to come to the one who has given him this great gift. And it's also possible that there isn't that much thought going into it. He is just completely overwhelmed by the joy of the gift that he has received. And because of the joy he has in that gift, as Pastor Holly mentioned before, there's just nothing that's going to keep him away from the giver.
Well, and I think as we think about it, there might be a temptation to think, oh, wow, he got it. He understood the gift. And so that's why he was truly thankful. And in as far as that goes, I guess that's all well and fine. But there is another player at work here. And I think we do well to at least highlight that for the listeners. And that is the Spirit is at work. In the epistle assigned for this same Sunday, we're encouraged to walk by the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And it's obvious that this Samaritan saw Jesus and saw in Jesus something that the others missed. And I would suggest to you that all of us would, while we would be thankful to be healed, we would be thrilled just to focus on the cure. And we might easily and quite naturally, I might add, miss the significance of the healer, the giver. And obviously, I think the Samaritan here had been given eyes of faith to behold Jesus for what he was, God among us. He comes back glorifying God, giving thanks to Jesus, kind of connecting God and Jesus, if you will. And so I think you have here the Spirit at work. And that's the reason why we return to worship God. It's not because we've suddenly learned it or we're smarter than everybody else or our parents raised us better to be more thankful. It's evidence that the Spirit has been at work. This Samaritan now understands the gift, but even more importantly, he understands the giver. And he has been restored to a right relationship with God, with Jesus. And so there's no reason why he shouldn't come and be connected with Jesus.
That's a fantastic point, because the Spirit's never going to point out his own role in the text. So when the Spirit has Luke write this down, of course, when you have someone who is pointing us to Jesus, it's the Spirit who is working through that person. That's a great point. I love it.
You said, Charlie, that before we went to the break, that what's being described here in this Samaritan is repentance. That, and you had that participle verb relationship going on there, that it was turning. He praised God with a loud voice. And that you said, this is repentance. That is as much a work of the Holy Spirit as is faith. In fact, the two are part and parcel of one another, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And the reason why this occurred to me while I was reading it is, in the Old Testament, the word for repentance is quite literally the word to turn around. Now, in the New Testament, repentance is usually the word for, like, changing your mind. But I don't think that you can miss the fact that this person turns around toward Jesus with his back to the Old Testament law, and that the praising God is modifying this verb of turning around. So turning around, he praises God. I mean, the praise is actually, you know, subordinate to this turning around. And so whenever a person turns around in faith, it is because they have heard the word of God. The Holy Spirit has created faith in their heart. And that is what causes the turning to happen in the first place. It's entirely the work of the Spirit. So again, you know, the Spirit's here in the background turning the Samaritan toward Jesus. It's a beautiful point, and I'm glad that Pastor Holly brought it forward for us.
And then on the heels of that, the other verb there in that verse is he then falls. He then falls at Jesus' feet in the position, if you will, of worship. And he worships. He gives thanks. And I couldn't help, as Charlie was talking there, about open thou my lips. Lord, open my lips, and my lips will show forth your praise. And so with this returning, with this turning, with this repentance, you have coupled with that a true worship of God, not only giving thanks, but also recognizing the giver.
So then when Jesus says, and we're going to have to get into this just a little bit on the other side, when Jesus says, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give thanks to God except this foreigner? That sounds more, in the context of what you've been saying, Charlie, like Jesus saying elsewhere, I have not found faith in all of Israel like this, or commending this woman, this Syrophoenician woman in another text, woman, great is your faith. Not so much about the unbelief of the 9, but about the faith of the one. What do you think with about a minute here before our break?
Well, I think that's exactly what Jesus is doing. And I think the fact that Jesus says, was no one found to give praise to God except this foreigner, is really important. Jesus is saying that the Samaritan recognizes exactly who he is, that he is the Savior of the world, the Son of God, God in human flesh.
Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest, along with Pastor Brian Holly. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. 10 more minutes and some of your questions on the other side of the break.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. That's the choir of King's College singing the first stanza of the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., talking about the cleansing of the 10 lepers. The Lutheran Study Bible is a resource that I think our listeners have grown to appreciate over the few years that it has been out. It was a long time coming. Other study Bibles provide, well, sometimes a little more than opinion. In the notes, sometimes it's only one man's opinion. Sometimes it's an opinion so crafted to the reader or the market that the Bible is being marketed to that it's not of general use to anybody. But the Lutheran Study Bible doesn't contain a lot of opinion. It contains some sound scholarship on difficult texts like the one that we're looking at here. And where it doesn't, where it can't come to good conclusions based on the text, it doesn't come to conclusions. You can find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. There's a link to it right there. Or just call Concordia Publishing House and order one. The Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. One more question before we go to our listeners, Pastor Lehman. We do need to rightly read Jesus' words in verse 19, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And many would say that if you want to be well, you have to have faith. And faith is some kind of a virtue in us that we exercise whereby we unlock God's blessings and gifts. How should we read these words?
Well, frankly, I think we should read them the way that almost no translations ever give them to us. What it actually says is, your faith has saved you. The word is the same word that is used everywhere else in the New Testament for saving, for salvation. This isn't just saying something mundane like, you don't have these skin blemishes anymore. You don't need to spend as much, you know, money on skincare products as you used to. It's nothing that mundane and normal. It's saying your faith has saved you. It's saying that you have life that can't be taken away from you. It's saying that, you have the forgiveness of sins. You have everything that I am going to the cross to win for you. It's nothing so simple as your faith has made you well. When we talk about faith, we're talking about Jesus, and when we're talking about Jesus, we have to talk about the cross, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. Your faith has saved you. You're going to receive everything that I'm going to win for you on the cross.
Scott in Knoxville, Tennessee, has a related question. He says, here is where I struggle. The Lutheran viewpoint seems to be that God does it all, that faith is a gift of God, and I understand that. Yet several examples are given of people who are pronounced healed, whole, well, after they make a response to their encounter with God. The Samaritan above who turned back, the woman who touched Jesus' robe, the thief who professed his faith on the cross, the prodigal son who returned. So how do we read this, Pastor Holly? Because it does seem in some of those texts that the healing is made in response to the faith. But is that the case here, that the person is actually healed after they make their response?
Well, I think it's a great question, because it's the same kind of thing that I used to wonder about a lot. And there were many stories in the Bible that seemed to suggest one thing or could be understood a certain way. My suggestion is to be careful about getting too caught up in their chronology of things. We tend to be very chronological people. Well, this and then that. We're very cause and effect oriented. That's how we are by nature and by experience, largely. But when it comes to God's work, He is timeless, and His plan for our salvation and all that other stuff is never dictated by timing or who does what when, unless He's the one who's doing whatever it is that He's doing. And I think so we have to be careful about that. And as a matter of fact, there are so many stories in Scripture that talk about kind of the different timing. Some are baptized and then faith and then Spirit. There's the gift of the Spirit, and then there's water baptism, and then they're described as having faith. And I think God does this intentionally so that we don't get caught up in, okay, who did what first? Remember, if you read the story carefully, He said, go and show. And then they went. So they had nothing more than His word. Hey, do this. And as they were going, they were healed. And then the man turns and returns. So I don't think we should get too caught up in the chronology. Remember the paralyzed man. The first thing Jesus did was forgive his sins. And then later He said, rise, get up and go. We have to be careful about getting caught up in the chronology. And this business about being saved or being well, I think if this were the only passage in Scripture that suggested that our faith saves, we'd have a harder time making the argument. But there are so many other places where it talks about how we are saved by faith, and it is not a result of our works or any decision or any response that no one can boast. And I think that's why we can read it correctly the way Charlie described.
Here is a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line about today's text.
With regard to your request for comments on Luke 17, 11 through 19, first I'd like to thank you for all you do for your show. I've enjoyed it very much and learned a lot. The Reverend Larry Wright from Our Savior Lutheran Church. Luke 17, 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. What a wonderful exposition of grace, salvation, and worship. The word translated as foreigner here is allogenes. It's only used once in the New Testament. It is this leper who is the other born, a stranger of another race, someone who in reality could not go to the priest and show himself in verse 14. In fact, the only other known use of the word allogenes is that it was the famous Jerusalem temple inscription, Medina allogena estistori spai, roughly meaning no one other born may go in or out. This one could not go to the temple built by the hands of man to be healed, to be cleansed, be verified as ritually clean. This foreigner receives cleansing, healing, and mercy he prayed for, eleison hemas, all delivered by hearing the word of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who was otherborn, who himself was made man by the speaking of the Holy Spirit in the ear of a virgin. And so it is only by the gift of grace from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ that faith turned this foreigner around, repentance. And he returned and came before the Lord, fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, and gave eucharisteon, alton, Eucharist, to Jesus himself. Thus, the one who would take away the sin of the world gives access to the temple of God to all who are faced with the incurable disease of sin, an eternal gift from the Jesus who died and was resurrected from the dead for all who would believe in him. Be not incurable anymore. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Thank you for all you do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, and thank you for the comment, smartest listeners in radio. Your briefest thoughts there, Charles, on that observation that very well summarizes what we've been talking about for the whole hour.
My only observation on that is that I would love for my classmate to email me an MP3 of his sermon for this coming Sunday so that I can just put a tape recorder in the pulpit and let him do the job for me, because there's no way I'm going to come up with anything more beautiful than that.
Well, you know, this will be available online later, so you can just transcribe it if you like. I mean, this quickest way, and then you've got your sermon literally written for you. Final thought, Pastor Holly, on this cleansing of the 10 lepers with only about 30 seconds. You said at the very beginning, this is not just about being thankful, but this text, when you're done, gives you so much to be thankful for. What is it?
And that thing to be thankful for is nothing other than Jesus. And that will be my goal as I step into the pulpit this Sunday, will be to show the people Jesus, not to berate them to somehow be more thankful or better people, but my goal will be to simply show them Jesus, the author and perfecter of all that is right, and the one who has died to take away all their uncleanness. And just to try to once again bring that to the forefront of his people's vision.
Pastor Brian Holly is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, thanks for coming in.
You bet. I enjoyed it, and I'm very thankful for the gift, by the way.
Good. I'm glad you're thankful. Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Charlie, thank you very much.
Thank you, and I want to let you know that the email I sent Jeff yesterday about the sauce was simply exuberant joy in advance, because the bottle I have in the fridge is almost empty.
Well, we'll see to it that we fill your fridge again with Country Bob's. Scott in Knoxville, Tennessee, if you would send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. Sorry we didn't get to everybody's questions on the text. Time simply does not permit all of them to get in, but thanks to everybody who had a question or a comment on the cleansing of the 10 lepers. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Thursday. Colleen Carol Campbell will kick it off. We're going to talk about Pat Robertson's recent comment about Alzheimer's and divorce. She speaks with some personal experience with Alzheimer's, and I'm anxious to hear what she has to say. Frank Turek joins us after that. The repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is official. It has been dropped. It's no longer military policy. Frank will give us his perspective. Then we'll hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line. All of that in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.